Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This is Star with U.S. Paranormal. Lisa and I are back with you tonight. Lisa, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I didn't even realize that it had that you, because you mentioned restarting. I didn't realize you meant really like going off and back on. So, yeah. Sorry, guys, for any delay.
Yeah, it's
getting started a couple minutes late.
Yeah, I'm having a little bit of trouble with my mic tonight. Hearing you, or anybody for that matter, is just not working very well for me, but I think we're going to get through this just fine.
Yeah. I think it wouldn't
However,
be a show if there wasn't technical issues. Seems like that's
the
regular.
We seem to have technical difficulties everywhere we go.
That's how it works. So we're back doing round two of movies. We had so much fun last week. We thought, well, let's do that again. And originally Aaron was going to join us, but unfortunately he's tied up at the moment. So it'll be Star and I, but she said she's got a big list and I've got a few as well. So we should have plenty to go over.
Mm-hmm.
Star, do you want to... start it out.
Do you want me to start it
What's
out?
What's your gut? Is it going to be a werewolf one again?
Well, first of all, let me explain what we're doing.
We
could rate it in stars, or we could rate it in ghosties. And ghosts are what we're rating it in. So 1 through 5 ghosts. And then what we'll do is we go through and we list acting, special effects, believability or immersion into the storyline, plot, the ending, and the scariness factor. Each one of those, that's 6 of them, gets 1 through 5 ghosts. And then we tally it all up together to see what the overall ghost factor is. 5 is best. 1 means it absolutely sucks. And we did have one of those last week. It wasn't 1, but I believe it was like 2 something. And
that's probably the one I shut off,
you know,
halfway through.
It was a sucky movie. I think that was Beyond Skyline or something like that that we did. And we rated it, and it actually came out pretty low.
Yeah.
But so if you have any questions, call in. The number is for our guests is 845-277-9158. And you can call in and speak with us. You can ask us live, or you can get online and go to blogtalkradio.com, U.S. Paranormal, and you can join the chat and chat with us and let us know what you think of the movie that we're talking about. And you're going to have to excuse me. I've been sick this weekend, and it's still got a hold of me. I'm dealing with one of those headaches. You have those headaches, Lisa, that just nag at you?
When the weather changes. When it's going to rain?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we had snow today, and it's cold, and... anyway, I'm ready for summer. Winter came. We didn't even have a fall. I think we had maybe a day or two, and then it was gone. Okay, so let's start out with the first one. My first one that I'm going to talk about is called Ma, M-A, Ma. And it stars, the acting part of it, it stars Octavia Spencer. Now, you will recognize her from Hidden Figures, The Help, and The Shack. She was in all 3 of those movies. She's got several movies under her belt. She's a phenomenal actress. and I gave her 5 ghosties, 5 ghosts on that one. I call it ghosties because it's just fun, you know. the next one is Diana Silvers, and she is the young heroine. She's a teenager. Playing a teenager in this movie. I gave her 4 ghosts. She has starred in Glass, Booksmart, and Into the Dark. I'm not really familiar with her except through this movie that I watched called Ma, and she did a really good job. I gave her a four ghosts. Juliette Lewis also starred, and she played this young lady's mother. Now, Juliette Lewis, I have followed her for a long time. She started Natural Born Killers with Woody Harrelson. She starred in Cape Fear as a teenager of the parents that was stalked by, oh, what is his name? The Godfather dude. I can't think. Robert De Niro.
Oh, yeah.
And then From Dusk Till Dawn, she was also in that movie. And I gave her a five ghosties because I think that she's just a phenomenal actress, and she was great in this movie. I love this movie. I would not recommend this movie for everyone, especially if you have children. There's drug use in it. There's alcohol use in it. There is nudity. And so if you have children, I don't recommend it that you let them watch this movie. And when I say nudity, I'm talking about full frontal of a male, and, you know, that kind of thing. And if you have young children and you don't want them watching that kind of thing, do not rent this movie. Now, I will say the special effects were good for this movie. I gave it four ghosts. They only had a $5 million budget when they made this movie, and they're going to make money off of this movie because it is so well acted, so well played, and the special effects, there was, now I'm giving you spoiler warning right now. If you don't want to hear about this movie, then turn off your radio. Do not listen. I'm
going
to give you just a few seconds here. What's that?
So maybe not even listen to us at all. No, we don't give it all away.
All right. But if they're watching or listening to us later, they need to know. Don't listen to this particular spot until you watch this movie. Spoiler warning. There was a young girl that got her lips sewed together. There was torture scenes. There was one particular scene where she has one of the guys that tormented her, the actress Octavia Spencer, she plays Ma, tormented her when they were in high school together. And so this is a revenge movie, and she gets her revenge. She ties this guy to a bed, and she threatens to cut off his private parts. And she is giving him, she's feeding him intravenously dog blood. So, and then she goes around to the side and slashes his wrists, and she's just torturing this dude. And
well, this is worse than what's the movie with the knee hacking lady? Lady that takes a sledgehammer to the knees. Oh,
Misery.
And I know you.
I know what you're talking
about. Yeah,
sounds
worse than 10 times worse than Misery. Good God.
Well, I don't know. That would be pretty miserable, because when she takes that sledgehammer to that guy's shins, she puts a block of wood in between his legs, and then she takes a sledgehammer to him. That's painful. That is just downright. That made me cringe. But this made me cringe too.
Yeah.
You know, because I knew what was going to happen to him. I mean, it is predictable, but in a good way. You know what's going to happen. But there are a few twists and turns in there that you don't see. Right off the bat, though, you do know that she is deranged. There is a reason that she is, but she is. Let's go into believability and immersion. I gave it five ghosts. And this is because this is a movie you get caught up in because it can really and does really happen in the world that we live in. This movie goes by fast once you get caught up in what's going on. The plot, I gave five ghosts also. Let me just let you know what I think about that here. What the plot is, if I can get to my notes, y'all forgive me. I am so sorry. What the plot is, it all goes back to the believability part. We know that someone was bullied as a kid. we all know somebody that has been bullied as a kid. And Octavia was, her character was bullied. Ma was bullied as a teenager by this group of people. It's a small town. She is now a vet tech. She helps in a veterinarian clinic. And she takes her revenge out on these kids that used to bully her. And one part was, it was a pretty bad bullying that happened to her. Getting to it right now. Hang on. It says, in this new psychological horror thriller, and I don't list it as a horror movie because it's more to me as a psychological thriller. It's not really a horror. It doesn't really scare you the way a horror movie does, but you feel the fear through believing that this can actually happen. This new psychological thriller from Tate Taylor and Blumhouse, a lonely woman befriends a group of teenagers and decides to let them party at her house. Just when the kids think that their luck couldn't get any better, things start happening that make them question the intention of their crazy host. And believe me, she's crazy. I'm telling you. oh my goodness. She kind of makes Kathy Bates in Misery look tame. The ending, I gave it 3 ghosts. I had a hard time with the ending. They do give you an alternate ending that you can watch instead of just the regular ending. Spoiler warning on this. It was cheesy to me how that they all went back to the rock pile to drink and smoke pot with Ma's daughter after Ma supposedly died in the house that she used to let the kids party in by a fire. The alternate ending where they couldn't find Ma's body in the house when they went and looked and sifted through the ashes, so that there may be a part 2 coming out. That was predictable, but it's still a good movie overall. Now, the scariness factor, I gave it 3 ghosties because it was
more cringy than scary.
You knew that something bad was going to happen. You knew revenge was going to happen, but it was still, don't expect a horror movie. This is a psychological, it's just a good movie. Overall, I gave it, when I tallied everything up, divided by 6, it got a 4 ghosties from me. Have you seen the movie, Lisa?
No, I've heard of it, and I've been wanting to watch it, but now I don't want to. Now I don't want to. It just doesn't sound good. Oh, I know it sounds bad, but no, I'm not. I can only do so much horror. Like, I'm just not into, like, certain ones, but not, like, horror, not, like, gross, like, the torture kind of ones. I can't watch like that.
Right.
Can't do it.
Now, yeah, and it wasn't a torture like Saw. It wasn't quite like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was,
I watched
just
the first one. I couldn't go beyond the first one. I just couldn't do it.
Right. Right. It wasn't quite like that. That, to me, is an unbelievable torture movie. You know, I mean, this guy running everything, and maybe there's somebody out there that could do that. But this one is more believable because it could be somebody just down the street, and you don't really know.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I know a young lady that her manager – she has young people come over to her house and drink, and she's a nutcase. She really is. And so that when I was watching this movie, I was thinking, oh my gosh, it reminds me of that woman. You know, so yes, to me, it's believable.
Yeah.
So that one got 4 ghosts overall from me. Your turn.
All right. I'll start with the new one, and then I rehashed 2 from last week because I wanted to rewatch. Sorry, guys. For some reason, I was muted there. No, it's weird.
That was my fault. I was going to mute myself, and I muted you instead.
So I'm going to start with the new one, and then I rehashed two old ones. I wanted to rewatch them, see what I missed, and I actually enjoyed them more the second round than the first round, but we'll get to those in a bit. But starting with The House of the Witch, I wanted to try something different. This was an older one from 17. It was from October of 17. So right before Halloween, obviously, that's when they put all the scary movies out. And it's about a bunch of teenagers that were basically looking for a place to party. And they snuck into this like haunted house. It's a 3-story abandoned house set in the 80s. Well, it was abandoned in the 80s, excuse me. And like there's this urban legend of a death on the property. And so they park far away and they sneak up with their flashlights and they somehow get just like trapped in there where all the doors lock, you know, because that's how, you know, all horror movies and scary movies are. And basically, yeah, I know the doors just automatically just, you can't escape the house. Well, before I get to the plot, the acting, I mean, it was really good. It was all these teenagers, and they all did really well, and there was a little humor tossed in there for being a horror movie. So I gave that 5 on acting. Special effects, it had good music, good sound effects, like the creaking doors and the pounds and the bangs and all, you know, all the spooky stuff. I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, I gave it a 5. Because everything was spot on, but I guess it could have been more. It wasn't as much as like The Nun or Winchester or some of these others. In, you know, like in Winchester, they had a fake earthquake. So, you know, I guess, you know, if you're looking, comparing it to something like that, it's not as extreme with special effects, but they were still good and, you know, appropriate at the right times. And then believability or immersion into the storyline. Because I mean, it was all good. I mean, the time, like, you know, the time frame, the background, the scene, the truck, the house, the way they were acting, the humor, everything just fit. Like there wasn't anything that seemed odd or out of place or unbelievable. And then when it came to the plot, it's basically this witch that is in this house and don't really know why. That's the only odd part. But she's just not going to be satisfied until everybody is dead. And so, I mean, it's kind of a good plot. You know, now I'm like rethinking my scores because originally I said 5 on the one. And originally I said 5 on the plot because it, you know, it is a good, but it's already scored low enough on other stuff. But the plot, I mean, it's a great idea in, you know, they do like throughout the movie, like, oh, you know, they see spirit and ghost and there's scary sounds and there's the doors opening and closing. And there's skepticism where the kids are like, oh no, you're just seeing things. And, you know, and it just kind of slowly progresses and gets scarier and scarier. So, I mean, the storyline is good. And the idea is good. And then the ending, it includes both death and another spoiler, death and someone being brought back to life. So it was a fair ending. I give that 3 and scariness a 2 because to me, I mean, it's predictable, but it's not like, it doesn't make you jump. It's not scary at all to me. So overall, right. Even without adjusting those 5s to 4s, which I would probably actually go back and do, I had 2.5 ghosts on The House of the Witch from 2017. So, and I think it may have actually been a Netflix movie and not like out at theaters. I'm not sure because that's what I had seen associated with it. And maybe that's part of why it wasn't that great. Maybe the funding for it wasn't there. I don't know what would have, you know, I think maybe making it a little more scarier would have made it a little better. I mean, really boosted it a lot.
Well, you look at the one I just did, Ma. I mean, that was $5 million budget on that one. And I've known some
that
have had even smaller budgets, but yet it's it's what brings it out to me is the
it's
acting
the director. Yeah.
And the director.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the director on that one.
If you've got a good director and good actors, or a director that knows how to make a good actor, then I think
and
you're
going to
have
the kids
good
were good actors, but I think it was just the overall package. And the director's name was Alex Merkin, M-E-R-K-I-N, and he has a history of horror mm-hmm. movies, but I've not seen any of his. I don't even know any of his. So I don't know if any of his others are good or if they're all just kind of also – you know, mm-hmm. if he's been doing this for a while, I would expect kind of better out of him. So I would kind of call it a flop on that one. But I mean, maybe someone else would take a liking to it. I mean, it did have the humor and the good acting and stuff. But it was just fair. Fair. 2.5.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the most
yeah,
I can
give
that
again?
One. The House of the Witch. And it came out in 2017.
Okay. You know, I don't even think I've heard of that movie.
I know. I was trying to think of something that we really haven't touched on.
Was it a straight-to-DVD movie? Or?
Well, that's what I was saying. I think it was a Netflix movie, like originally. Now, I was able to watch it on my TV on, like, ATT TV or whatever, like on cable. So, mm-hmm. but there was something about Netflix where I saw Netflix somewhere. So I think it may have been like this Netflix original movie and then it's just kind of now you can watch it anywhere. So that's why I think
yeah,
I don't know if it went out like in theaters. So that might be part of the issue there with that one. And then, I rehashed Winchester and The Nun. I'll do Winchester and then flip to you if that's cool. On Winchester.
Yeah, Winchester next, is that what you said?
She's obviously the eccentric, I can't even say the word, firearm Harris of the Winchester rifle, and you know her husband dies of TB, and they think she's cuckoo and crazy, and you know the movie is based somewhat off of kind of, I guess you could say, partial history, because there is the home that exists and everything, and she really did exist and really did believe that her home was haunted. Obviously, the movie expands upon that and goes above and beyond. and there's the stairwells to nowhere and the doors to nowhere, and so they send out a psychiatrist to evaluate her mental health, and she, you know, she feels she's haunted by the spirits of the people that were killed by her husband's rifle. And she has all these rooms that are locked throughout the house by 13 nails. And I don't know why 13, but, you know, she had that thing with everything where it had the windows, you know, had to have certain number of sides, you know, like certain number of steps in the stairwells, and like everything had to be certain numbers with her. So 13 nails, and then she did that with several rooms throughout that mansion, saying that she was trapping the ghost in there so they couldn't haunt the rest of the mansion. Acting-wise, I gave it 5. The main character there, you got Helen, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but Marin, M-I-R-R-E-N.
Yeah, that's great. That's
who plays Sarah Winchester. And Jason Clark, who plays Dr. Price, and he was rather good looking in the movie, I will say. He's an Australian actor. But he was a little shady in that movie, though. They open up with him, like, doing drugs with prostitutes and being an alcoholic and everything, and then someone comes out and says, you know, you need to come evaluate her. And I'm thinking, is he really the one that needs to be evaluating someone else? And she like picks up on him drinking and is like, you are not to drink in this place. But anyway, so yeah, he's the other main character there. And Sarah, she does good dressing in all black and being dramatic and stuff. And then, you know, with the acting, you've got Henry, the son, who shows signs of possession, and it was pretty good. Special effect wise, you have people being thrown around. I mentioned the earthquake that was recreated, like a fake earthquake that kills people during the process, and doors opening and shutting, you know, slamming rather, not even just opening and shutting, and the noises and stuff. And then during the movie, it's just constantly in renovation because she's constantly wanting to shut up rooms, you know, board up rooms and build more and keep expanding. So it's just like constant right. workers around the house. Believability, I mean, you know, obviously, I mean, think I believe Billy. Yeah, I love it. I liked it a lot. I put 5 stars on it. And same with the plot, because mm-hmm. that and the ending as well. The ending is great and it's dramatic. So with the ending, basically it comes down to Henry showing signs of possession, Eric finding himself, like, talking to someone. And then Eric goes to talk to Sarah about this and shows him a picture of Ben in a Confederate uniform. And the story is that Ben and his two brothers were soldiers, and the brothers were killed by Union officers carrying Winchester rifles. And Ben held the Winchesters accountable for the death of the brothers, and he shot and killed 15 employees before the police arrived, and then shot Ben to death. And then Sarah had the room in which he died recreated in the mansion, which allowed Ben's spirit to walk among the earth. And then the earthquake, you know, that hits, and then workers are killed. And then it's just like all this just back to back, like, activity going on. And then Ben's spirit attacks Sarah and slams her against the wall. And then what was after that? Eric, and he saw himself on the night that Ruby died. And then he tries to take the rifle from her. And it's just like, people trying to shoot each other. it's a lot of activity. It's a lot going on. You're like, wait a minute,
yeah.
Who's this? Who's that? But it's good. And that's why I was like, I've got to watch it a second time. And then basically mm-hmm. it ends with Ben's spirit is joined by the other Winchester victims. And Ben attempts to attack the family before Eric shows up to intervene. Somehow Eric is able to shoot Ben's spirit and put an end to the ghost terror. And then Eric, leaves the mansion, and he feels all good, like his guilt is gone, and now Henry is better. So that's the gist of the ending of that one. But it's a good movie.
So what's your overall?
It's got a lot going on. Overall, I gave it a 5. I don't know how they could improve that one any more than they did. I mean, mm-hmm. you know,
well, it's based on a true story. I mean, there is the Winchester House.
Yeah, I mean,
house,
I can't find any faults in it at all. Yeah, that's the thing. I love those that are like The Nun too. I mean, you know, and it's history.
Mm-hmm.
What you got?
Okay.
You got another good one?
This next one is an old one. I watched it when I was 11 years old, and it impacted me so much that I can still see the scenes and feel the fear that I did at that age. Now, looking back at my age now, you know, it's not probably as good as something that could be made now with the special effects and so on. But
and you said
it was a
good
movie.
How old were you?
Salem's Lot. What's that?
Salem. Okay, I was going to ask. I was going to try to guess. I was going to say, what age were you?
11.
Salem's Lot. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
But never
Salem's
seen
Lot. It was rated PG. Also, and let me say that Ma was rated R, and it needed to be rated R. But Salem's Lot is rated PG, made in 1979. That's when it came out, and it is a horror movie, justly. It is a vampire movie, and the vampire that they had, they based him off of the original Nosferatu back in the silent movie era, the bald with the big pointed teeth and the long fingers and fingernails and such, and, you know, and when I was a kid, you know, watching that, it impacted me so much. And as we go through, I'll tell you why. The acting, David Soul, from Starsky and Hutch, my nickname Starsky. David Soul, I gave him 3.5 ghosts because he's a good actor. He's not great, but he's a good actor in this movie. I think it's one of his better works. Lance Kerwin, he played Mark, the young teenager that is just so emphatic with scary movies. He loves horror movies of all kinds. He is in this. He plays also in Enemy Mine, Outbreak, James at 16. These are old movies, most of them, except for Outbreak. Outbreak had Morgan Freeman. I think that's a 90s or an early 2000s movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I gave him a 3.5. Jeffrey Lewis, he's been a supporting actor all of his life, for all of his career. 225 films that he's done, three of which is The Shadow Riders with Tom Selleck and, I can't think of his name. Anyway, the guy with the big mustache. Any Which Way You Can with Clint Eastwood and Tom Horn with David Carradine. He's a good actor, and we'll get into why here in just a little bit. This movie, just really, I love this movie. I gave him 4 ghosties for a total for the acting of 3.7 ghosts. Now, the special effects, this was 1979. And they didn't need to have too many special effects, but they did have some good ones, what they did have. I gave it a 3.5 ghosts. The vampire himself was scary, and I call them the vampers, those that were turned into vampires. They were kind of scary, too. For that time, the effects were good. A lot of what you don't see, the illusion of what is happening or has happened, the music also has a lot to do with the feel of the music or of the movie. Now, Jeff Lewis, that I was just talking about, the supporting actor, when he was turned into a vampire, his eyes, he scared the living daylights out of me. You know, of course, I was a kid, but it really impacted me even to this day. Now, my kids, when they watched it, they were bored stiff, and they were like, really, Mom? And I was like, yes, this meant a lot to me. But I liked the movie. There was a kid also on the movie that comes floating out of the mist up to a window, and they can't come in the house unless you invite them in, on this, you know, vampires. And so he comes floating up to the window, Mark's window, and he's knocking on it, their friends, and he's saying, let me in, let me in. And so Mark opens the window, and this thing comes floating in, you know, this kid does, and of course he wants to bite him, you know. I mean, he's a vampire. But, of course, Mark doesn't let him. He grabs one of the crosses out of his cemetery that he has built in his bedroom, and you know, and he gets him out of there. It was just things like that, you know, stuck in my mind, those scary moments. Believability and immersion, I gave it a 3.5. It's not believable because it's vampires, but it's believable in the point that no one in the town of Salem's Lot would believe it until it was too late. Now, if something like that were to happen today, nobody would believe it. You know what I'm saying? And that is the only thing that was believable about it. The plot. Let me get to the plot here. Hang on. Okay. The plot. You have a successful writer, Benjamin Mears, Ben Mears, and that's David Soul's character, returns to his hometown, Salem's Lot, Maine. Expecting to write a new novel about the Marston House. Ben believes that the manor is an evil house that attracts evil men, since the place has many tragic stories. And Ben saw a ghostly creature inside the house when he was 10. Ben finds that the Marston House has just been rented to the antique dealers Richard K. Straker and his partner, Kurt Barlow, that is permanently traveling. Kurt Barlow is actually going to be your vampire, but you never see him until about halfway through the movie. Ben meets the divorced teacher Susan Norton, and she becomes his love interest. And he also gets close to her father, Dr. Bill Norton, and his former school teacher, Jason Burke. When people start to die of anemia, Ben believes that Straker's partner is a vampire, but how to convince his friends that he is not crazy and what is the truth? So that's the plot. I gave the plot for Ghosties because it's a good plot. The movie is 3 hours and like 20 minutes long, and I know when I was a kid they split it up into two nights. The ending, I gave it 4 ghosts. It was predictable, but Ben and his love interest, who is now a vampire herself, she has escaped the fate of the other vamps when they burned them in the Marston house. And so she hunts Ben and Mark down. They are the survivors, or vice versa. Maybe they hunt her down. I can't remember. But Ben, he kills her, even though he loves her, because he doesn't want her to walk through life sucking the blood out of everybody. Yeah. And so, you know, Ben kills her, and now they've got to go find the rest of them and destroy them. It's kind of like zombies, only, you know, it's just a little bit different. They don't, you don't turn at the drop of a hat or anything. You just turn. And it leaves one hanging, this movie does, and it makes you wonder, okay, is Stephen King going to write a sequel to it and put that on? But they never did. They did have a Salem's Lot Part 2, but it was almost comedic. And it was stupid. I watched it, and I can't even remember much about it because it was so stupid. And it had nothing to do with Stephen King stuff.
Yeah.
The scariness factor, I gave it 5
ghosts.
So
that's a Stephen King movie?
Yes, it is. It is a Stephen King movie.
I didn't
movie.
Know that. And I like Stephen King, but I can't watch all his movies. But, like, it and
yeah.
some of them I do like. He's a really good writer, I guess you could say.
Yeah, he's a fantastic writer. And somebody told me to read the book, and I really, you know, I have watched the movie. I've never read the book. And I'm afraid if I read the book, it's going to ruin the movie for me. You know how that goes. But the scariness factor, I gave it 5 ghosts. I was 11 years old. Take that into you know, into your heart, and I still today have nightmares sometimes about that movie because I can see those scenes that I saw with boy floating and the kid getting taken out in the woods and
so,
just different.
It's definitely
things.
Not a kid's movie if you're still having dreams to this
a
day.
A kid could probably watch it nowadays because they've been so desensitized to everything else. They could probably watch it nowadays. Like I told you, my kids were bored, stiff. When we were watching, they went to sleep. But anyway, the overall score was a 3.2 ghosties for that, for Salem's Lot.
Salem's
and
Lot.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, I've heard of that so many times. I've just never watched it.
Well, why don't you get it sometime and watch it? I think
I know.
I'm not sure
I think I've got like
on Netflix
50
or not,
movies
but
on this list now. Netflix or not Netflix? Redbox is going to have my money here before long because I got a whole bunch I want to watch after like looking at these different movies. So my movie is The Nun, 2018. So it's a young nun in Romania. Her own life and a priest with a haunted past. She's on a threshold of taking her final vows and is sent to investigate at the sanctuary. So it just shows the travels and them getting there. Acting, so when come to acting, they actually had really, really good actors and actresses. So actresses-wise, there's Sister Irene, who's I'm butcher this, T-A-I-S-S-A, so that's Tessa Formiga, and Bonnie Ahrens is a demon nun. Now, Bonnie Ahrens was also in The Conjuring 2 and in Princess Diaries and a few others.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then also there's
the characters that play Ed and Lorraine Warren still?
Yes, Lorraine. There was a Vera Farmiga, I don't know, I butchered it, who played Lorraine, and Patrick Wilson played Ered Warren, can't talk. And then there was a Father Burke, who he actually, I could not figure out why does he look so familiar, and he was a good-looking guy, like in the other movie. So good-looking men in these movies, let me tell you, along with some others. But he's a Mexican-American actor, Damien Bichir, Bichir. And what I know him from is The Grand Hotel. Great movie, great TV series. Its first season was in 2019, and I'm hoping that it gets picked up next year. And then, obviously, The Nun. He was in A Better Life, Weeds, and The Hateful Eight. And those were just spread out between like 2005 and 2015. I hadn't heard of any of those. But he's a great actor in that TV series as well. So It makes sense why the acting was so good. And then what was after acting? We had special effects. So, well, that was just over the top, like Winchester. They had, you know, the eerie soundtrack and great architecture, dimly lit castle, you know, people being trapped under the ground and ringing the bell, like, you know, the old wise tale thing, and just blood and just good special effects. Believability. The only reason believability took a hit for me was more the ending. But otherwise, the rest of it fell right along with Romania and the time period, and it all fit. Fit right along the whole, it was just seamless. And then plot, it was a great storyline, and you know, it's obviously the fifth entry into the Conjuring horror film series, and those are just all up my alley. So obviously I love Ed and Lorraine Warren. I don't think that's a secret. So, you know, so that plot worked well. As far as scariness, it did have a lot of climatic moments where you're just kind of on edge and stuff, and then you're able to relax, and then she starts creeping down this dark area where she's not supposed to be, and then you're on edge again. And so, yeah, you're up and down with that one. So it's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And then the ending, I give it 3 to 4 because there's a huge plot twist at the end, but it's just odd. It's this big water scene fight. I don't want to give it away. You should watch the movie because it's a good movie. It's just the ending's a little just off to me, a little odd. I don't know. You'll see what I mean. So overall, though, I gave it 3.4 ghosts. But and it was only because of the ending. Aside from the ending, the rest of it was great. So loved it even more watching it the second time. That and Winchester were both great the second time because you pick up on little things that you didn't notice the first time.
See, that's two that I need to watch now. I haven't seen either one of those, Winchester or The Nun.
I think you'd really like them both. No, they don't have, you know, all the blood and guts that, you know, like horror movies have, but they're good. They have like substance to them. So I think that's all that I have. That's all that I have.
Well, what's your overall score for that one?
Next. Oh, that one was 3.4.
3.4.
I don't know how I got 3.4. I think because a few of them were like in between 3 and 4. So it just felt weird. But yeah.
Well, I have
not quite.
If we've got time for it.
I think we do. Let's look. We've got 13 minutes, okay. So that should be just enough time for one more.
Okay. The next one I want to talk about is called The Strangers. It's rated R. It was it came out in 2008, and it is a psychological thriller, and it's also a horror story. Usually you can't mix the two, in my opinion, but like with Ma, that was just a psychological thriller. It wasn't a horror story, but this one, to me, is. The acting was Scott Speedman, and he is in the Underworld series. He plays the
I was going to say, why do I know that
vampire.
Name?
I don't know.
Speedman. Oh, well, you said vampire, though. So what else? Did he play anything else that you're aware of?
He was half vampire, half werewolf. In the Underworld series.
See, I wouldn't know. If it was
he
a vampire thing, I would know.
In Grey's Anatomy. He joined Grey's Anatomy in 2018.
Oh, that may be it. I like my
and he was
stuff.
In a movie called The Monster that I watched not too long ago, and it wasn't that bad. I was not expecting it to be a good movie, you know, because I thought that the cover looked really kind of cheesy, but it was actually a pretty good movie. A friend of mine, actually the kid that I watch every once in a while, he and I watched The Monster together, and it was a pretty good movie. But Scott Speedman is in it. I gave him a 4. Liv Tyler is in it, and she's the one that starred in Armageddon, Lord of the Rings. She was the head elf, the head elf's daughter, and the Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton. So anyway, I mean, it's a good movie.
It
good
sounds like a lot
acting.
Of great actors.
Yeah. What's that?
I was going to say, it sounds like a bunch of great actors in it.
Yeah, it does. Well, it is. It's a,
I mean,
you know,
cats,
and
like
really
cats-wise.
Those two carry the movie. There's some, you know, some supporting actors that come in here and there, and then you've got the bad guys and so on. But these two carry the movie, and they set it up for you, and it's good. The special effects, there was lots of knife slashing, gun shooting, lots of blood. The masks that the intruders wear are just creepy. One is just nothing but a sack or, like a burlap sack pulled over this guy's head with the eyes cut out. And the other one, she's doll face. And then the other one, is, I think it's Betty Boop. I can't remember. But I gave special effects 3 ghosties because even though, you know, people getting shot and that kind of thing, the makeup was good, all of that was good, but it wasn't the best I've ever seen. So they got 3 ghosts on that. Believability and immersion, I gave it 4 ghosties because it is believable. There are real psychos out there that find this kind of thing fun. It's a turn on to them, and it's just that's what makes it scary. That's what makes it believable. The plot, let me read to you the plot here, if you don't mind. I gave it a 5 ghosties.
I had trouble with
it
the believability scoring. Did you have that issue? Did you have any issue with the believability? Because when we're scoring believability, it's like, okay, is it believability as in that could really happen here and now in real life or in the movie? Because obviously vampires and all this stuff, you know what I mean?
In somebody's life. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what makes it believable to me. It can really, just like with Ma, that can really happen. It's believable. And that's what makes it so scary with the good acting and the good directing. and you become immersed in it. I mean, the immersion factor, you become immersed in it because you see that, man, this can really happen. It says it's based on a true story. Now, I did some research on that. Yes, it is, and no. I mean, there's aspects of it that is, but not the whole thing. You know, there's a lot of writing that went into it that's not true. You know, you got to add a little fiction in there to, and some drama to really bring it out and make it scary. But yes, the believability is because it could really happen. But the plot, I gave it 5 ghosts. A young couple is staying in an isolated vacation home, and they're terrorized by 3 unknown assailants. One of the things that they do is they come up, they knock on the door, and you open the door, and you say, yes, can I help you? And she asks for this total off-the-wall name, you know, like, is Mary here? And she's got this mask on her face. And they just look at her like, okay. And they say, no, nobody lives here by that name. Oh, okay. And she turns around and leaves. Okay? And that's what starts the whole thing. They're looking in the windows, and finally they get into the house. And they just terrorize this couple. One of the things that it was so funny when we watched, I watched a lot of this stuff with my own kids. Of course, they're adults now, and so they were teenagers when we watched this movie together. What's that?
Oh, I thought you were going to say they're grown now, and then you were like, no, they were teenagers when we were watching it. But still teenagers. They're old enough.
They were teenagers. So anyway, we were watching this movie, and the guy with the burlap sack over his head at one point is standing and looking in the window. Well, my son, my oldest son, he was sitting in a chair over by the window. We've got the lights off in the house because that's what we do when we watch scary movies together. And
well, all I may never
sudden,
come watch a movie
cat,
with you.
Our cat jumps up on the window screen and just hangs there, and he screamed like a little girl. It scared him to death because it was right during the time when that guy was looking in the window with his burlap sack over his head. The ending, I gave it a 5 ghosties. It was a great ending. I'm not going to tell you what happens. You've probably already seen it if you're listening to this. It's a 2008 movie. But Liv Tyler, her character asks. Huh?
You'd be surprised. I mean, a lot of these movies, you know, you mean to see them and you never watch them. You know, there's a ton that I've been meaning to see. I've heard of them, but
that's,
I just
well,
still haven't
true.
Watched them.
Yeah. Well, Liv Tyler's character asked the girl, the doll face girl, why are you doing this to us? And she just very monotonely says, because you were home. It's because they were there. And I've heard of that happening before, you know, home invasions and whatever, because they answered the door. Because, you know, have you ever heard of when they...
That sounds like a psychopath.
Where they knock the front overhead light out on the porch. They break it so that you can't see them. Well, that happens in this movie, too.
No, I haven't heard that. Now, in true life, for a while there when I lived in Corinth, Texas, they had a bunch of people that were breaking into homes, but they were poking the eye hole out and looking in and like sticking a wire through somehow and like getting into your into your place. Yeah, but I've not heard of and I don't know how they even know if you're home. I think they just were knocking to see if you're home and then sticking, you know, something through, like popping it through. But
yeah,
pretty scary stuff. But yeah, no, I've not heard of knocking the light out so you
so
can
see
them.
So I gave the ending of 5 ghosties because it's scary. The scariness factor, I gave it a 4 ghosties. It's jumpy, it's terrorizing, and it's just a good overall psychological thriller. It keeps you on your toes watching this movie because you don't know what's going to happen next. Some of it is predictable, but I mean, that's going to happen in any movie. If you're a movie buff and you watch a lot of movies, you're going to see a lot of things that you know are just going to happen. I mean, predictability is predictable. It's going to happen. But this movie not only had predictability, but it also had some really good scares, some really good jump scares. Overall, I gave it 4 ghosties. I love the movie The Strangers. I'd watch it again right now if I could. As a matter of fact, I might get it in Salem's Lot and rewatch those because they're just good.
I have a feeling we're going to be watching a lot of horror movies all winter.
I love my scary movies. I have another one, but I'm not going to go into it because we don't have enough time. But The Train to Busan is a zombie movie and a half. It is fantastic. If you have not seen it, it's a 2016. It's not been rated. The special effects are good. I don't get into the kind of acting that they do, and I know that, you know, that they're just trained that way. It's a Korean film, but it's an overall good movie. If you have not seen Train to Busan, they do speak in Korean. They do have subtitles, but it's easy to follow, and it is a great movie. So if you get a chance to watch it, do that, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, Lisa.
Well, I think that's it. I mean, we're about out of time. We've got 2 minutes left, so we can just call it wraps. This was the season finale, so Star Aaron and I will be joining you next year in 2020. I'm not sure exactly when we're going to choose to start back up, but we're going to take a break for the holidays and come back for season 3 and have a bunch of new topics for you. Maybe we'll toss some polls out there, like where, you know, you can pick between some different topics, or you can always post on our page or anywhere you want, you know, what some ideas or what you want to hear us talk about, topic wise. Anything else you want to add to that? And I was thinking we were kind of talking maybe like somewhere between January to March-ish, maybe make the season run January to March-ish and then all the way to maybe October is what we were thinking in general.
I have to say, I love doing this show, and the sooner we get back to it, the better, as far as I'm concerned. I am ready for a break. Can you believe we're going to be starting our 3rd season?
Well, that's just on here. I mean, we've done, other platforms, and then, I had done also under other networks. I mean, we both have histories of longstanding blogs and stuff. So, and so just to be 3rd season on here, it'll be nice coming into the 3rd.
Yeah.
Be time for celebration. And then we'll have to drag Steve on. I know he was tied up a bit, reasonably so, or understandably so. So, we're down to the last 14 seconds, so we got to say goodbye to everybody until we come back next season.
Goodbye, but happy holidays.
Yes, and happy New Year, since we won't talk to you until after, probably.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.